and welcome to N-Express, the inaugural episode of 2018. Couldn't be more excited after a brief break to ring in the new year. To help me do that, I've got Patrick Murphy here.
Hey, Tim. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. And Ricky D is here as well.
What's up, Nintendo Nation? What's up, Tim Mason? Yo, you know what I heard today?
What's that?
Oprah is running for president of Nintendo.
Oh, God.
Nintendo.
Thank you, Golden Globes. Internet. As if the Golden Globes couldn't get worse.
So just to poke fun at my American friends, if you had to choose between Arnold Schwarzenegger, Oprah Winfrey, Kanye West, The Rock, or Donald Trump, or Ronald Reagan, am I missing any celebrities here who wanted to run for president or try to?
Jesse Ventura.
Jesse in a body. If you could choose any one of those dudes and dudettes to be the president of Nintendo, who would you choose?
All right, that's an easy one for me. Easy one for me. I take Schwarzenegger on that one. I feel like his body is also ready, just like Reggie's. And I lived in California under Schwarzenegger, and he really wasn't half bad, surprisingly, as a governor. And most people now agree on that.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad choice, but you gave me the option of The Rock, and I'm always going to go with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, man. The Rock's going to lay a smackdown on Xbox and PlayStation.
Well, his body is ready as well. Mm. Plus, you can smell what he's cooking, and I always like that.
The Rock's amazing.
Yeah. He's kind of just like an amazingly self-aware individual, which you have to respect.
I don't know if I have to. He was also in, oh, God, what was it? You can tell me this, Ricky. You probably remember that Richard Kelly movie. Oh, what was that? Southland Tales.
Yeah, I actually liked that movie, by the way.
Do you really? Oh, I found it to be so bizarre. Anyway, we don't have to get into that.
It's a really bizarre movie. It's a mess, but it's like a really fun mess to watch. Anyhow, we're here to talk about video games, Nintendo games.
Speaking of which, you guys, we've had some time away. So what have you been playing? Patrick, I know there's a game that you were already cautioning us not to play, so why don't you warn the world?
All right, I got to get this out of the way, and my apologies if anybody from Tequila Works is listening to this, but the Switch port of Rime is a massive disappointment. I was really looking forward to playing that game, and I bought it. Thank God I bought the physical copy, because I would be really regretting a digital copy. I can always sell the physical copy, which I will be doing, but the frame rate is so terrible that this is a game that's basically about atmosphere, and the look of the game is a big part of it. That's a big part of drawing you in, you know, immersing you in this whole thing, because it's kind of just a light puzzle game. The puzzles are kind of simple, but it's more about exploration and seeing this beautiful world they've created for you, except you can't really see this world very well when everything is stuttering constantly. It becomes really annoying, and normally I'm not a big, like, frame rate, you know, is king kind of guy, although I do really like a smooth frame rate. But this probably, I hate to say this, but it probably should have never been released. If they couldn't get it any better than this, they probably should have just stopped. This does not feel like a game that should have cost $40 at all. The frame rate's that bad on it. And I know reviews have basically mentioned the same thing. This is the worst way to play this game. And it had frame rate issues already, supposedly, even on the consoles. But from all I've heard, it seems like it would be a nice game as long as you could actually avoid these sort of technical difficulties. It seems like it would be a nice game. Definitely play it somewhere else if you're looking to play this. Do not play it on Switch. That's what I've been playing, that and a little bit of P-Cross.
So I was baffled, because when you said that you were playing Rime, I'm like, you mean Rive, right? like, no, Rime. I'm like, so one of those games is good, one of those games is bad. Which one are you playing?
Rime, man. I mean, Rime got decent reviews when it came out, and I think it probably is a decent game. It's just not a decent game on Switch.
That's what I heard.
Play it somewhere else. I wish I could, but, you know, I don't play PC. So, yeah, not a good Switch game. I don't even know if I'll bother beating it. It took me so... The bad frame rate took me so out of it. It just ruins the atmosphere. Completely ruins it.
You ruin the atmosphere.
That's true. I do a lot, but the game did it first.
Yeah. So anything else you've been playing?
I don't know if, do you guys play P-Cross? I do. P-Cross E8 came out, and I love that, of course. And then I've got a game that I'm reviewing, that I'll be reviewing next week. So I'm trying to play my way through that. It's called World to the West. It came out on PS4 and Xbox One earlier last year, but it's coming to Switch next week. So I'm playing through that one right now.
Yeah, I know a lot of puzzlers that really like those games. I've never played them myself, but I hear really, really good things.
Oh, P-Cross is addictive. So I don't even know if that's how it's pronounced, but that's how I pronounce it. And it's super addictive, like little puzzle game.
Isn't it like Picross, like picture?
It could be. Yeah, that makes sense, Tim.
Okay. Rick, how about you? What have you been playing?
Well, I started the year by finishing Zelda. So January 1st, I actually finished Zelda, everything, Champion's Ballad. I don't know if you guys have finished Champion's Ballad. We talked about it, I think, on the last episode. Patrick, you're not a fan. Tim, you love it. I love it. The last boss is incredible. It's amazing. It's the best boss in the game. It's one of the best boss fights of any Zelda game. He's just brilliant. Really, really tough at first. Once you figure out how to beat him, he's actually kind of easy. I just actually love the DLC because you get an entire new dungeon, you get an entire new boss, you get to refight the four previous bosses, and you have the first quest, which is really tough when you only have like not even a half a heart, it's like a quarter of a heart. But yeah, so I wanted to get Zelda out of the way, so it's done. And in order to celebrate, I actually purchased the Nintendo Switch case holder, like the actual Switch holder. Like, I got the Zelda Breath of the Wild case holder, because before I just had the red and black one, and this one is much better. If anyone wants to buy a holder to take your Switch on the go, like, it has the slots to put in your games, whereas the other one I had didn't have it, so my games would just kind of like fall all over the place. So yeah, I celebrated by buying things, because that's me, right?
I was gonna say, Tim, tell me that's the Switch holder that you love, right?
The
from E3.
He's making fun of me because I have the special edition Zelda case that looks like the Sheikah Slate.
Is that the one you have, Rick?
Yeah.
Does it look like a Sheikah Slate?
No.
Oh, okay.
So he has some other one that he went out and bought that's Zelda themed, which is cool because all of those ones look really cool and really good.
Okay.
No, yeah. No, this actually looks really good. It's black and has this sort of... it's not a color. It has like sort of like a texture to it. And it has a photo of Link on the cover. It's got the beautiful font and the title card sequence from the Zelda game. And in the back, it's got the logo. It's really nice. And the reason why I love it is because, like I said, like the last one the other one I have, I actually gave it to my nephew. It was just sort of like you open it up and you just kind of cram whatever you can in there. This one actually has pockets and you can actually put the game cartridges inside and you can assort them nicely. Like, it's actually really good. And I think it's waterproof, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, which I really need, because like in Montreal right now, it's snowing, raining, hailing. Like, it's just crazy outside. Anyhow, apart from Zelda, man, I've already talked about Floor Kids and Brawl Out on the last episode, or two of my favorite indie games of last year. If you haven't played it, listen to our last podcast. I've played a lot more of Overcooked. I've played, oh my god, how could I forget? Guys, finally. I played Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and holy shit is that game good.
One of the best games of the year, dude.
You and I have both been playing that. I've been noticing that I see you on there all the time. We're playing the same game, because I finally got my own copy of it. And yeah, seriously, like, I already liked it from everything that I had gotten the chance to play.
Yeah.
From like friends' copies. And at different shows, but it's amazing.
It was my biggest surprise of the year. I loved that game. Loved it.
I think it is. I mean, Fire Emblem Warriors was a big surprise because I love that game, but this is an even bigger surprise because remember, guys, when I first saw the trailer on the podcast, it was like, I don't want to play this game.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who don't know, the first time I purchased the game, I bought it the same day my Nintendo Switch died. So I was about to unwrap the game. And I opened up my Switch and my Switch died. So I ended up shipping back my Switch to Nintendo headquarters. They told me it would take about 4 weeks to get back the Switch. So in Montreal, Nintendo games are really expensive. I spent $92 on the game. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take it back because I'm kind of broke. I'm going to pay my cell phone bill instead. And I'm going to go back and buy the game later. By the time the Switch came back, there was like 20,000 games getting released on the Nintendo Switch. So I never had time to catch up. So I decided like, yeah, after Christmas, I went out and I bought it. Finally got a chance to play it. I'm more than halfway through. I bought it on Friday. So I'm going through the game pretty quickly. I don't find it very hard, which is fine. It's not incredibly easy, but it's not hard. I love the characters, and we're going to talk about this on the next segment. But we every year at Goomba Stomp, we post a list of the best new Nintendo characters, like the new characters introduced into the Nintendo universe. Because Nintendo, you know, they're known for making some of the greatest, most iconic video game characters of all time. And I could not believe that nobody had nominated or voted for Peach Rabbit. Because Peach is like the best character in that game. She makes me laugh so hard when she's taking her selfies. The comedy in this game, the writing is like top notch. It's like a Billy Wilder film at some point. It's like really bizarre. Yeah, and so I don't know, Patrick, have you played with someone else, like co-op mode or versus mode or battle mode?
No, I haven't. I have nobody else to play with. I've beaten the game, and I've done more. I think I've done 3/4 of the challenges that are also available. Mm-hmm. But I haven't gotten to play the co-op or the versus.
Okay, because I beat the second boss, because there's only 4 levels, if I'm not mistaken.
4 worlds.
And yeah. 4 worlds, yeah. There's lots of levels, but 4 worlds. And so I'm at world 3. But the thing is, so after I finished world 2, I played with my nephew, and you can play versus, and you can even play co-op. And it's not actually as fun as playing by yourself, believe it or not, because the thing is, it slows down the pacing of the game, because you're waiting for the other person to do their moves. So it's odd. Like, I do recommend it. Like, it is still fun enough to play with someone, but it's way better playing single mode. But yeah, I just love the fact that each character has like these unique weapons, like an arsenal of weapons. Like, I like the fact that Luigi has his little tank, and Peach has it too, right? Mm-hmm. It's great because you can attack enemies from a distance, because you just take your little remote control tank and you send it off and it goes and hopefully blows up the enemy. I love Luigi's sniper rifle.
The death stare.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. And so my team as of right now is I switch it up, but most of the time I play with Peach Rabbit. You have to play with Mario. You have no choice. And at first I was a little sick of using Luigi, but I ended up going back to Luigi.
It's the classic team. Right there. You can get through anything with that team.
Not Luigi Rabbit, but Luigi.
Yep, you can get through anything with that. That's how I played the entire game, seriously, like the entire game, because I never found a need. As soon as I got a new character, I would experiment with them a little bit, but I didn't really need to do anything. I loved my team of Mario, Luigi,
because
Peach Rabbit.
Peach has the healing power, mm-hmm. and she's also just like funny as hell, so you want to see her in those cutscenes.
Yep.
And the thing about Luigi and Mario, if you're really smart about how you play the game, you can double up on the sniper rifle hit, right? So like, yes. Mario would like shoot the guy from a distance, like a sneak attack with his rifle, and then Luigi would follow up. So just with those two guys with their sort of like bonus attack, you can knock off an enemy like really quick.
Yeah, they both have Overwatch attacks.
I had a match just today in which an enemy moved and my Mario did his like death glare with a bounce weapon. And shot the guy, like, bounced him way into the air. And then Luigi turned and, like, shot him. And Mario, I've upgraded so that he has 2 of those shots. And Luigi has 3. And they bollied this guy until he was dead. And they still had shots to spare. So good.
Yeah, it's such a great game. And, you know, there's a lot of little things that people don't talk about, like, at least in the reviews that I've read. Like, for example, when you want to upgrade, you know, when it comes to your skill set, like, you can actually sit there and decide what you want to upgrade and choose, or you could just press Y. But the beauty about it is, okay, so it speeds up the game. You just press Y and it automatically does it for you. But you can also reset it in case you're not happy with the choices the computer made. Like, there's these little things that they do. Or, like, I always talk about this on the podcast. I'm really bad with geography. I always get lost everywhere. I'm the type of person where I need a compass, right? So every time I play a video game, I get lost. And so there's so many times where I walk the wrong way. But when you walk the wrong way, it like this big invisible wall pops up in front of you and gives you this big warning. It's like, you are about to leave the area. Are you sure you're going to leave? You're going to lose all of your save progress. And it's like, thank you. I just did not waste 20 minutes walking in the wrong direction. Thank you, Ubisoft.
I wanted to make a quick comment about the skill tree. Like, it is so cool that you can reset your skills, because later on during the challenges, it comes in handy. You can just manufacture characters, or not manufacture, but manipulate that skill tree so that you have the ideal settings for that particular challenge. And it's so fast. Even resetting them all is so fast, and pumping all of your points, redirecting them all into the skill that you know you're going to need. It's a great way of doing stuff like that. It's so user-friendly. The whole game is very user-friendly for this kind of game. Never thought I'd like it that much.
Can someone just please explain to me the plot of this game? I'm so confused.
I don't know, but I love that rabbit with the virtual goggles on it.
I don't get it. I just don't understand what happened. Like, how? Why? What? Like, they weren't even in the Mushroom Kingdom. Yet, no. He breaks into the little girl's room. Well, they do. He puts on the VR headset, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, they're in the Mushroom Kingdom. Everything gets turned upside down, and all the poor Goombas are being tortured. This is like a horror film for us, guys. The Goombas, they're being tortured.
I know, and they're like morphing it. It's a David Cronenberg type thing where the bodies are joining together, and it's... I'm surprised there wasn't one in a lab saying, please kill me.
Yeah. Anyhow, I did play one more game. I've been playing a lot of games, but I'm going to talk about one. Guys, actually, just to let you know, I've been playing so many games that as of now, I have more games on my Nintendo Switch than I do on my Wii U. Now, not including the classic games I bought on the Wii U eShop, right? Not including like those old SNES games and NES games. And not including the Wii games, which you can also play in the Wii U. But I actually have more games on my Nintendo Switch than I do on the Wii U. So it hasn't been here.
Is it an accomplishment?
Mm-hmm. So I've been playing this game called Fury, which our editor over Goomba Stomp absolutely loves and adores. And the reason why I picked up the game is because he could not stop talking about it when he played it on PlayStation 4. So I don't know if I would recommend the game to you guys, because, like, you know, podcasting with you guys for 2 years now, I kind of get a sense of what kind of games you guys like. Maybe Tim, Patrick, I don't think you're going to like it. The game is basically boss battle after boss battle after boss battle after boss battle. That's all you do. You just battle bosses. Like, the game starts up right away and you battle a boss. There's 10 bosses to beat. It's also super hard. It sort of mixes in fast and frenzied swordplay with twin stick shooting gameplay. And yeah, so you basically fight a boss on a stage. It's sort of like playing Smash, only, like, you know, you can't play multiplayer. You can't really choose different characters. You're stuck with this one guy. It's really weird. Like, I don't yet know what I think of the game. Like, I got to write a review on it, but I need to play it a bit more. It is really, really hard. And it's funny because you can play easy mode and hard mode. They recommend you play hard mode, because if you don't play hard mode, you don't unlock whatever it is that you unlock at the end of the game. But I don't know, guys. I don't know if this game's for me. Like, I'm glad I received the game for free. Like, they gave me a review copy, so it's not like I spent money on it. But I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to finish it at this point. Like, and it looks beautiful. Like, the in terms of, like, the aesthetics, like, it reminds me of one of those sci-fi anime films like Akira, or what's the other one that's really good? Perfect Blue. Or think of like Hyper Light Drifter. Like, it has like these neon pinks and purples and blues and just the color palette and the tone of it. And it has like that sort of...
The musical,
like,
score?
Yeah, the John Carpenter like score. The synth score. Yeah, synth score. So it's one of those games. It's basically just a bunch of boss battles. That's all it is. And I can't really say much more, because for some reason, if you're talking about it on Nintendo Switch, there's an embargo, which I don't really understand why, because the game is released on Steam and PS4 already. But yeah, so maybe I can talk about it a bit more next week.
Yeah, all boss battles. I mean, I was actually thinking of writing an article about how much I hate boss battles, and I think they're just an archaic thing that video games need to, or, you know, should lose in general. Or how they don't have to lose them completely, but I think too many of them are shoehorned in just because people expect them. In fact, in the current game I'm playing through that I will be writing a review on, I may have a few things to say about the bosses. But Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's for me. I would never say it's a bad game. That's just not a genre for me.
And the thing is, no matter what boss you fight, no matter what stage you get to, you're stuck with the exact same character with the exact same moveset, the exact same moves. So it's not like you do get better, clearly. I mean, you have to get better in order to progress, but you're only really mastering this one specific character. So from what I understand, this is the kind of game for people who like boss battles, who like hard games, who like fighting one specific character and using one specific character and mastering that one character so they can go back and replay the game and try to beat like their top score. It's like for speedrunners.
Ah, okay. And that also is not for me whatsoever. I'm not a high score guy. Don't care about scores.
Yeah. Tim, we need to know what you're playing.
I have been playing on my Switch almost exclusively two games. I beat Breath of the Wild, the new DLC. I had saved up all of the DLC for myself, so when I came back in, I just had like a bunch of content. So I like got in there, got some of like the new armor pieces, did the Trials of the Sword, and then went and beat the DLC. And I was sitting near the end when we talked about it last episode, but I hadn't beaten it yet, and now I've completed it, and it was sensational. I loved it. I kind of want more DLC. I want them to actually give people what they wanted with like a totally new land to discover. But what they did give us kind of felt like a grand tour through Hyrule once more. And being months out from when I first played the game, I was way more than happy to oblige because there were so many areas I hadn't been to in so long that it was so refreshing to revisit it. Yeah. And only now do I realize like how much I love that map now.
Do you know, I think it was on the Game Informer podcast, and I don't know if this is an actual fact, but they were saying that they specifically picked the areas in which you have to go return to in order to fight the four bosses again, like revisit the shrines. They picked the areas in which people tend to explore the least.
I've heard that as well, and to some extent, I think I buy some of it, because they were just like underutilized little nooks and crannies that they encouraged you to go back to. Some of them I had been to, but other parts, there was nothing really out there, so there was no need to be there. And I think they did a pretty good job. Even with some of the armor, there were a couple of ruins that I hadn't actually seen. So yeah, that was kind of cool that they found a way to make me go.
For me, it's like, okay, so you know when you what do you call it? The Hero's Quest or Master Quest, when you press X on the map and you can actually see exactly where you traveled and where you didn't travel because it lights up the whole entire map with the lines, right?
Yeah.
So did you get Phantom Ganon's costume?
I did.
Okay. So that whole entire like quest, that most of the areas in which you, the whole thing is complicated, but those areas specifically, those were areas that I didn't really visit much because when I checked the map, like I didn't have any trace of crossing those specific areas.
Interesting. I had definitely been there, but
I got 900 Koroks. There wasn't a single spot on that map I didn't go to. When I first opened up that thing, my map was already filled. So every location was already somewhere. There was literally nowhere I hadn't been in that map.
So yeah, so the thing is, like, I mean, I'm not happy about the fact that they included 900 Koroks. It's not that you have to collect them all, but I think it's clear why they did this. It's because they just want you to actually explore the whole entire map. So by finding all 900 Koroks, it must mean that you have traveled everywhere.
Yeah, and honestly, like, finding 900 Koroks was 10 times more fun to me than the DLC was. So, I mean, I already explored the map by the time I beat the DLC as well. I just did it so I could get it out of the way and be done with it, never have to think about it again. If anything that makes people explore that map is great. The seeds were enough for me. I wanted to see every inch of that land because it's all very, very fascinating.
Yeah, you know, and I think the designers almost deserve that. Like, they put so much work into like the outlay of this map. It plays sensationally too. It seems like everything's very intentional, but it still feels natural. It's brilliant.
Did you play Horizon Zero Dawn?
I have played a demo of it and nothing else.
Well, it's because the reason why I bring it up is because in that game, you don't get fast travel right away. And the reason being is because the developers didn't want to give players the ability to fast travel right away, because they wanted you to actually explore the whole entire map, because they spent like years making this game. And I kind of feel like Nintendo, like the makers of Zelda, kind of felt the same way too, but they went about it in a different way, where you sort of get fast travel right away in the game, but they spread out so much stuff throughout the whole entire game, like on the map, like be it Korok seeds or weapons or costumes or shrines, that it gives you reason to travel just about everywhere. But honestly, guys, like, my problem with Zelda isn't necessarily a problem with the game. It's just that the game is so damn good that every time I play a game like, say, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, it's so hard for me to want to continue playing a game like that, because it's like, I can't climb walls. I can't go anywhere where I want to go, because this dude, Rex, is just not capable of doing anything that Link can do in Breath of the Wild. And it becomes really frustrating, because you know you're going to have to spend like 135 hours in this game, but about half of that time is going to be spent walking around things, because you can't scale walls or climb the mountain or the tree that's right in front of you. Like,
it's just one of the best sandboxes to come out in so long. And now there's a new tool in that sandbox in the form of a motorcycle, which I have died more times on that motorcycle than I have playing the entire game, I'm pretty sure. Just because I keep taking it off cliffs and like doing like wheelies as I go off these cliffs, and then I don't hop off as I hit the ground, and my motorcycle just blows up and I die.
I like,
and then
like,
gets back up because of that one blessing or whatever. So it's all fun.
I freaked out the first time I got the motorcycle because it ran out of fuel. And I thought I was just going to lose the motorcycle like forever. So I was like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? And anyhow, you just like had to fuel it up. But yeah, I was like a little, like, for whatever reason, I was like a little worried for about a minute or so.
I legitimately, as soon as it said it was empty, got off and filled my hands full of apples. And I was like, here, horse, eat apples. And it worked. So anyway, the only other game I've been playing, which we already talked about, is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Sensational. Buy it now. Ubisoft, I don't care about Assassin's Creed or anything else you make. Just make me a sequel for that game, and I am happy. Also, just get Nintendo to agree to let you go play around with other properties. Add maybe some more Donkey Kong to that game, and maybe Kirby. I don't know. I think they could do a lot.
Dude, they need to make a sequel. They need to add more characters. It's going to sell gangbusters. That game's incredible. It's going to sell more and more copies within the next year or two, especially word of mouth. You know,
word
Ubisoft,
spread.
Get on it.
It's,
for sure.
It's, oh, they a will. Switch you, must have.
You it know a Switch sequel's must have.
Oh, yeah. I'm just impatient for it, even though I'm probably halfway through this one. I just want more of it. It's that good.
By the way, there's DLC coming. So,
I know.
And story DLC. So hopefully that'll happen this in a few months. Maybe we'll hear about it in the Nintendo Direct or something like that. But that, I'm looking forward to that.
So, but that's the great thing about the game. So first of all, the game is just fun to play. It's beautiful to look at, like especially the cutscenes. It feels like the cutscenes, I wouldn't put it on par as something like a Pixar or Studio Ghibli, but it's just as good as watching one of those DreamWorks animated films. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really good. Like, I can picture these guys like doing an animated film for Super Mario Brothers or any Nintendo property just as good as DreamWorks. Is it DreamWorks that's doing a movie for Super Mario, or is it someone else? Am I getting confused here?
If it happens.
But yeah, and the thing is, so they did add extra features in the game. And like I said, you can play co-op mode, you can play versus mode, battle mode, the single player story mode of the main campaign. And then they have two batches of DLC coming out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, one already did. It was extra challenge packs, which is fine. The challenges are fine, but I'm looking forward to the story campaign, like a little mini story campaign. That should be a lot of fun. I want another. Like, the challenges are fun. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've played three quarters of them and I love it. I want to go back and 100% this game, but I'm looking forward to some story stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to beat the rest of it. So that's really, really cool. But I think my biggest achievement in terms of my Switch is I fulfilled my goal of now my Joy-Cons are green and blue. I got the red and blue Joy-Cons and swapped them around. So now my Switch is officially the coolest. So
wait. You're lying, because I just did the exact same thing today.
It's so rad. I love it.
Oh my God.
I've been doing it, like, I got them for Christmas and just like immediately opened the box, like tossed the pink one to the side and stuck the blue one on the right side, and I was like, there we go.
Okay. My switch is complete. That is so funny. Like, okay, we gotta move on, but long story short, or short version of a long story, whatever I'm trying to say. So my train broke down today, which is why we're late on recording this podcast. And so on the way back downtown, because I had to catch a subway to come home, I ended up stopping at EB Games and then buying those like Joy-Con skin covers. So yeah, that's so weird. Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome. So what do you guys think the best Joy-Con combo is? Let us know. We'll give all our info at the end of the episode. I'd love to hear from you. But we've got to move on. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, who are the best new characters brought to us by Nintendo? Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N-Express. We just took a quick break in which you missed. I just had to reiterate how ugly the Sheikah Slate case is for the Switch. If you have that thing and you use it, so do I. If you think it's cool.
Oh my God, it is so ugly.
It just looks, it looks cheap and unfortunate.
Oh my God, I just Googled it. No, Tim, my case does not look anything like. I'm gonna take a photo of my case. I'm gonna send it to you on Twitter. This is what the French people call dégueulasse. Like, what is this? Oh my God!
Gaudy and not colored properly.
E3? Like, no, guys, don't take this kind of case to E3. Oh wow, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's really good. Is all the new characters that we got from Nintendo this year, which are undoubtedly going to be some fan favorites for years to come. Fan art abounds in this segment, you guys. We are going to go over the top characters brought to us by Nintendo this year. Something that we do every year on Goomba Stomp. So if you want to see 2016, 2015, they are both up on Goomba Stomp as well. That's where you can see this. And please read the brief snippets written, I swear, half by Ricky D and half by some other writers from Goomba Stomp. But here they are, starting with Falco. Excuse me.
What? Rivali.
Oh. Hey, man, that's why I put him on the list. He's actually my favorite of the champions in Breath of the Wild. Like, I know a lot of people are turned off by his cockiness and he's very flamboyant, but I think out of all the characters, he's the one where I actually get to see his quote-unquote human side. Like, you get to feel for his character because he's clearly just putting on a facade. Like, it's a front. He's just trying to hide the fact that he is actually scared and he does care and he's afraid of not succeeding. And there's something about the voice acting too. Like, the actor, Sean Chiplock, who plays him, I think he's actually the best voice actor in the game by far. So, yeah, he's my favorite champion.
By the way, like, half this list is Zelda characters.
Spoilers. I tried not to say it, but yes, it is the best Zelda characters.
We did, and like Rick said, we like totally neglected to put anybody from Mario Rabbids. I would have actually nominated Beepo, too, if I had thought about it. I like Beepo. The Roomba.
Or even the operatic singing boss.
Yes. He was a great character. Great character.
I feel like we should adjust the list. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have to.
Never too late.
Yeah, this guy's cool. I think there's something interesting about a character who is still cocky and self-assured, even though he died trying to succeed and failing. There's something really, really interesting about that.
He's pretty sure you're going to die too, though, so he can still be cocky.
Which makes it funny and just so good.
And then he doesn't have to eat crow. He has to eat whatever the hell weird bird thing he is.
He's a Rito.
Yeah, that's right, Rito.
And he is actually super cool, especially in the most recent cutscene. That was rad.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a character that you guys can fight over. The next one on our list is Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Mm-hmm. I had a fight for this. So a lot of people didn't want him on the list, and I was like, no. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. You played 125 hours of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and you do not like this character? I'm like, that's like watching a movie and you don't like any of the characters in a movie, but you tend to watch the movie that's like 1600 hours long. Like the bottom line is he's the main protagonist of the story. Like, yes, most of the story revolves around Pyra, whatever her name is.
Pyra.
but like the thing about Rex is, okay, put aside his accent, which I mentioned in the little blurb / write-up I wrote for his character piece. It's like, okay, so I'm not sure if he's British, Scottish, Irish. I'm not from the UK. Like, I have no idea, but this doesn't necessarily take place on the planet Earth. So it doesn't really matter. But he's still like this boy. Like, he's like a teenage boy. And given the fact that his parents died at a young age, he was raised by this giant titan. I'm not even entirely sure what kind of creature this is. I mean, that's like a troubled childhood, guys. And there's something like about his character where he's very naive and young and foolish, but he's still at least brave and heroic. And, you know, he's a scavenger, which is a pretty cool occupation, at least in my eyes. So I don't know. For me, there's a lot to like about this character. And again, like, we've talked about this game a lot on the podcast, even though none of us have finished it yet. But like the voice acting, I don't think it's bad. Like, I think it has more to do with the writing, like the actual dialogue, like the character, the actor that's playing the character. I think he's directed to play this character a specific way, and he's doing his job. And I'm sorry, guys, like, I like anime to some extent. Like, there's a lot of great like TV shows and movies that have come out in over the past like 25, 30 years. Like, Akira is one of my favorite films of all time. But a lot of anime is no different than what we get here in the cutscenes in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It's over dramatic. It's like, if it's sad, it's sad, but it's like to the extreme. You know, like, they raise the level right up to 10. It's like extremely sad and over dramatic, and everyone's crying. There's this like sad, melancholic music playing in the background. And if it's like, if they're happy, then they're like so happy. It's like they're on the Barbie show, you know? Like, it's just weird. That's the way anime is.
I think it's like part of the culture or something, because like Final Fantasy games are the exact same way. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Anime lines are typically delivered with a lot of camp. A lot of the voice actors create these characters that don't sound really human. They sound like characters. So, well,
here's the thing. There are a couple. I don't think it's the voice actor's problem at all either. I think it's the line, like Rick said, the lines they're given are really bad in some cases. This is not the best written game. And also the editing, the sound editing in this game is kind of terrible. It throws all the performances off. So as a voice actor, you really rely on your editor, your sound editor, to get those voices to come together right, to make it sound like a conversation. But there's so many starts and stops in this, so many awkward pauses that had nothing to do with the voice actor. It had everything to do with how they're actually, you know, mixing the whole thing together. That throws it off. But besides all that, I think Rex is pretty stupid, personally. I like Poppy. My vote would have been for Poppy. She's secretly hilarious. If you listen to everything she says and a lot of it's very sarcastic. She's made me laugh out loud during this game. She's my favorite character by far in this game. Whenever she's talking, I'm definitely listening. Whenever anybody else is, Rex is usually just repeating what somebody else said in the form of a question. So that's his main thing. He's okay. He's a typical JRPG hero. I don't know. I haven't found a compelling one since Final Fantasy VI, frankly. So, and he's definitely not as compelling as that. This story is... I'm going to go on record as saying this story is worse than Xenoblade Chronicles X's. So, Rex didn't really have a whole lot to do, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad because we've been making fun of this game for like about 5 weeks now. But it's so hard to go back to playing the game because, like, I know a lot of people at Goomba Stomp are like... Yeah, when you get to 125 hours, it's amazing. I'm like, 125 hours?
I'm at 30, and I'm contemplating shutting it down.
So I was, once again, name drop here. I was listening to the Game Informer podcast, and I'm not sure which episode this was, but it was recent, because I was debating if I want to go back and play this game. And I do and will go back and play this game eventually, because I spent like $92 buying this game. But like... They even said on their show, like, I don't know if the guy's reviewing the game or what's happening, but he was like, you know, I've been playing for 12 hours and I'm still not sure if I like this game. And to be honest, I don't think I do. And I'm 12 hours in, but I think I'm going to keep playing it because I bought it and I spent money on it. And it was like, but that's not a sign of a good game. Like, there's a lot to like about the game and admire so far from what I've seen, but
I've been up and down on it. Yeah. It's just, I'm sick of the up and down. Like, yes, every time I think that it's gaining momentum, it then kills it in some way. And it is so... Look, people can defend this game. Obviously, everybody's allowed to like what they like. But I think anybody would have a hard time defending the actual design of this game. Everything seems very sloppy, rushed, not very well thought out. This is clearly an inferior product to Xenoblade Chronicles X, which was obviously... a labor of some love, and it showed. This just feels slapped together to give the Switch a huge JRPG. So it's not an unplayable game. It's not, you know, an absolutely atrocious game, but it is definitely not a great game, and this is only going to appeal to a few select people. And if they love it, good for them. Good for them. I'm glad for you. But I can't believe I played 30 hours and I'm basically like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore.
Yeah, but you know, this game came out in 2017, which is like a banner year for video games. Like, I mean, just look at the lineup, like Horizon Zero Dawn, Assassin's Creed Origins, Super Mario Odyssey, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, like Wolfenstein. Like, I mean, there's so many great games, and so many of those games require, Persona 5, so many of those games require so much time. Like, I mean, just Persona and Zelda, you're putting in like 250 plus hours. So it's hard for me to go and play this game right now. So I will finish it and play it, or at least play most of it, to be fair to the game. But right now, I'm not happy about the fact that I'm just not enjoying the game, unfortunately. That's just me. But yeah, anyhow, moving on.
So the next character necessary for all Warriors games... We have Ronin from Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yeah, now, there is a character named Ronin, I believe, from a previous game. It's not him, it's Ronin, the new character from the new game Fire Emblem Warriors, who has a twin sister in the game. And the reason why I picked him over his sister is for the simple fact that I chose to play with him. I've been making fun of him throughout the whole entire podcast last year. I called him like the equivalent of King Joffrey, only he's like kind of like a nice guy.
he does look like him.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, when we talk about... terrible voice acting, this game has terrible voice acting, but it works given the fact that this is like a Fire Emblem Warriors game. It's one of those dynasty like fighting games, and the dialogue's terrible. Like, I mean, it's really bad, but it doesn't matter. The cutscenes are still fun to like at least watch, and they go by quick. The game itself is amazing, but I mean, himself like has an actual character. Like, I like his fighting style, I like what he stands for, I like the fact that I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't played the game, but the story that revolves around him and his like messed up family is like interesting. So yeah, for me, he won it like hands down. He's like, I mean, he's gonna have to be like a reoccurring character in the series now.
See, I picked Lyanna, and so that would have been my choice for best Fire Emblem Warriors character. I mean, other than the ones from, you know, that you otherwise that are from other games. But yeah, I like her quite a bit, and their relationship is kind of funny as siblings. I think they're pretty good. They work pretty well together. They are somewhat similar, but you know, in personality. Although he's a little more fiery than she is, and she's definitely like more cautious. But yeah, I'm digging this game. I love the voice acting and dialogue in this because it's so, like, C-movie. I think it's absolutely fantastic. See, this is how you do camp. I don't think Xenoblade 2 understands that it is camp, whereas I think this game gets it. It knows what it is. It knows it's super cheesy, and it just runs with it. And the actors deliver the lines with so much freaking passion. It's hilarious. I'm so entertained by this game's story.
You see, this is why we should have a follow-up list, and you should write it, like, because there's at least four or five characters that you've just mentioned that's not on the list. Like, I didn't play Mario plus Rabbids, you know, like, and I didn't pick his sister because I had already picked him. Like, anyhow.
So I think the next character is arguably the most popular, reaching full meme status, and that is Prince Sidon from Breath of the Wild, the Zora Prince, who the world just loves.
Now, why is he the most popular?
Because
all the memes.
He blew up online, and he's still blowing up.
I think King of Zelda memes.
Yeah, I think of all characters to blow up this year, he's been the biggest. People love this guy. And luckily, you guys, I'm here to say that I have seen Shape of Water, and it's apparently okay to fall in love with a fish man, so go for it.
He didn't leave that much of an impression on me.
I'm like scowling at you a little bit.
He's okay, but he's, I don't know.
No, he's awesome. Okay, let's just break it down. He is
a fish?
A red...
Fish?
Hammerhead, shark, fish. Zora.
Wait, so he's not a fish?
He's a
fish. Shark?
Well, that's a fish.
No, a shark's a mammal.
No, a whale's a mammal. A shark is a fish.
A shark's just a fish?
Yeah, that's it,
she's
man.
A fish.
He's just a
she's
big
a fish.
Fish. Jaws was just a fish. A big one, but, you know.
His name should be Bruce.
That would have been great.
He has the accent and everything.
Wait, what? Bruce has an accent? What?
No, just Sidon has an accent.
Okay, but never mind.
Wait, how can you tell he's got an accent? Is there any voice acting with him?
Tim, we've been through this a million times. Everyone has an accent. You Americans, man.
Yeah, it's true. I know everybody thinks they... Well, no, it's West Coast people.
It's West Coast.
West Coast people think they have no accent, but they don't.
I'm sorry. It's my pet peeve when Americans like, you have an accent. I'm like, so do you.
I'm not saying it in that way. I'm saying that he's got like the semi-Australian accent.
Ah, yes. That's right. He does talk in some of those scenes, doesn't he?
Yeah, when you first meet him on the bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like you guys were talking so passionately, and then when it comes to the actual character that the internet loves, you're just like awkward and off topic. So good talk spot here. I think he looks cool. I think this is one of the coolest Zoras they've designed. I like they went with a redesign here. And that this was one of the first ones you get to see. Very different, really, really cool and exciting. And personally, I like the character. Is he the true love of Link? I don't think we need to take it there, but if you want to ship that, feel free.
I don't know. He's fine. He's a fish, man.
Yeah.
The Zoras always been kind of boring to me. I've never been.
What? The Zoras have always been the coolest.
No, because like that girl that you haul up, that princess that you, Rudo, I think was her name. Oh my gosh. In Ocarina of Time, and you got to carry her around inside the belly of that big, of Jabu. I hated that. She's terrible.
When you're playing Majora's Mask, what's the most fun to be? A Zora. Remember that if you liked good games.
When you're playing. I didn't comprehend your first sentence, but anyway, you weren't speaking English there. But yeah, the Zoras have always just been kind of, they're just there. for me. I like their world a lot of the time, like the visuals, the aesthetics of it, but I'm not really a big fan of the people or fish people.
I think I've always thought they looked rad. You guys remember when they were green things that like popped up out of the water?
Yeah, and Link to the Past.
Yep. Anyway, speaking of an entire game getting all of its characters put in it, besides Zelda, we have the entire ARMS roster.
Wait, hold on. Not every character in Breath of the Wild got made the list, but every character.
Last character, I'm pretty sure, is just Guardian.
Well,
the we go in and name every single shrine person.
Okay, basically. No, but there's more Zelda characters coming up. But yeah, so what happened was we basically got into discussion of which character from ARMS to include. You know, some people choose this fighter, some people choose this fighter. But at the end of the day, I'm like, man, I'm not going to write about like six fighters. I'm just going to write one paragraph about the whole entire roster because the roster sort of makes the game. I mean, what makes ARMS great is the characters. Like, what I like about the game, it is a fighting game, but unlike most fighting games, well, I mean, some fighting games do have this, but it's really fun when you go into battle and each character has like a backstory and their own specific personality. And you have Biff that's narrating the whole entire fight sequence, like the match in between the matches and after the match. And he tells us, the audience, about these characters. Technically, each character can use a specific extension for the arm, right? So it has the fighting game. Like, you're still, like, each character, like, still has, to some degree, the same skill set. So I was like, well, look, why not just include a whole entire roster?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Otherwise, you're just listing off everybody. And personality-wise, they all kind of, like, does any of them not have personality? They all seem to have pretty good personality to me. I only played a little bit of the game on the demo, but of course I've kept an eye on it. And they all look pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we didn't include the whole entire roster, given the fact that, you know, each character, like I said, can technically use like whatever arm.
Any arm, yeah.
Then you're judging a character based on just looks, and that would make it superficial.
All right, best one though, Rick. If you got to pick just one, and I do like being superficial. At least there's no fish man in the whole group. Which one do you pick?
I would like to just pick Bite and Bark because I love dogs, but. Man, Helix. Yes.
The green, gooey alien dude.
The weirdest fighter in that game.
Yeah. He's definitely good. I know Twintel was a big choice amongst internet people when she first
came out.
People
love her, too.
Yep. It's a cool design. I like that her hair are the arms, which is weird, but it's nice that there's some variety there.
Okay, yeah, but people like her because she's like half naked or something. Not half naked.
No,
but
it's because she had a big ass. That was why.
Yeah, like, half naked, but she's very well developed. But I mean, like, herbaceous, yes, like,
as they say.
Yes, and but I like, honest to God, when I haven't played a lot of ARMS, like, I played enough to justify purchasing the game. Like, I haven't played 100 hours of the game, and I want to play more, but I've played with each and every single character, including the characters they added afterwards with the free DLC. I don't think we're going to get a sequel to this game. Like, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I know a lot of people want a sequel. I know it has, like, a huge dedicated fan base, but I don't think it's a big enough fan base. And I think Nintendo, like, you know, they gave us so much with the DLC, and they kept the game alive for, like, a whole entire year, and it just never really, really took off. We'll see. Personally, I'm just really disappointed that we didn't get Little Mac in the game. Like, I honestly got to think if they put Little Mac in this game, more people would be playing it.
It's possible. He would have been everybody's favorite, that's for sure.
Anyway, why don't we go back to fish people, because the next character is Mipha. And another champion who we know a tiny bit more about, but I feel like this is a cool character because she fills that role of the mandatory girl who's in love with Link in the Zelda game, but they actually develop this story a little bit more, and it's definitely kind of moving.
I'll give you that she has probably the best story beats with Link out of all the champions. Her story is the most compelling with his.
You know what's really compelling and amazing and moving is when right after you get to meet her and you have the cutscene, you go and cook a fire and you start eating fish.
Yes.
Fish. Because he eats fish in his game. and he falls in love with Zoras, who are fish people, but he eats fish. Think about that.
You can say whatever you want about Link. He's a silent character. I don't think there's any evidence for Link falling in love with a fish person or a fish. I thought it was she loved Link, and they were friends, and she began to love him and was going to propose marriage with the Zora armor, if I'm remembering right. But as far as I can tell, in any Zelda game, Link's just doing his thing, and all the girls are like, yeah, this guy's great.
Well, that's because he doesn't talk. She at least has more of an arc. Revali is decent, right? I can see Revali being, he's a very cool character, and, you know, I can see people who may attach to him. I think he's got a decent little arc, too, which she doesn't really have, but she has to sacrifice, and sacrifice is always compelling, especially in a Zelda game, because you know somebody's going to at some point. Often it's Zelda herself. But in this case, and Zelda did in this one as well, but Mipha's was a little more personal, and unrequited love always gets people big time.
Especially when you eat them afterwards.
Yes. Perhaps Link is just a serial killer of those fish people. but he knew she was about to, like, profess her love for him, so he couldn't kill her right there, so he had to go on and do some other things.
Did you read James's, like, little write-up of the character Mipha?
Yeah, like, no, I've got it pulled up right now.
So, I mean, it's very poetic, and he mentions Romeo and Juliet, and, like, the dude eats fish, and he falls in love with a fish.
Okay, I think the Zora very well may eat fish as well. They're not actually fish, you guys.
Well, fish do eat fish, you know. I mean, sharks eat other fish, and sharks eat fish. To come sharks, full circle.
The issue I take with James' little snippet again is he paints it like this big love story, and I'm like, pretty sure Link and Zelda always love each other, except for the Twilight Princess, because there was that other girl, but I hated her, so.
No, wait, what about Marin on Link's Awakening? Link is, I wrote an article about Link's romances, by the way, his top romances a long time ago. There are plenty of ladies who possibly could have fit the bill for Link, other than Zelda. His relationship with Zelda, to me, has always seemed more like friends, except for Skyward Sword. But other than that, they always seem like they're just sort of friends.
Dude, Zelda 2, it ends in her bedroom, or starts in her bedroom. It starts in her bedroom. He's, like, standing next to her bed. He just put that tunic back on, Patrick. Come on.
She was in a coma. How romantic is that?
Not in Zelda 2.
Not in Zelda 2.
Not in Zelda 2.
Saved her.
Well,
he got the king of her castle.
You know who else Link should date? The next two characters on the list.
Hey, speaking of fish people, the next two characters, Pearl and Marina.
Oh my god.
Oh,
Link
god.
Would eat these two characters.
These two he would eat, and they'd probably Malibu. Deserve it too. I'm kind of surprised they made the list, because I actually I was never sold on these two.
Someone on the internet needs to make a video as soon as possible about Link going on dates with all of these characters. Make it sort of like a homage or a parody of Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
He just eats them all.
Finds the best recipe for Mipha stew.
I like, you can eat birds in Zelda also, and that's not where our minds went. You guys are just so sold on, like, he eats fish that you're going with it. He can eat birds too, so when we get to Cass eventually, you know, he'd eat him too.
Yes, but the thing about the game is you can also kill, like, a bear and a wolf, but you would have to go out of your way to actually do it. You have to go out of your way to actually run after the birds and feed on them. But the fish, like, you actually just get fish at markets and with DLC and the amiibo, and you know what I mean? Like, it's just everywhere. Like, he's eating fish all the time, and it's just, like, weird. But anyhow, Pearl and Marina. Yeah, Patrick, I kind of agree with you. I mean... Maybe Marina. I don't know why people like Pearl. Like, she looks like she's dating Chucky from Child's Play. Like,
people on the internet frequently call her a gremlin, and I'm like, yes. I'm inclined to agree. I think that her coloration is so cool, and she could have, like, looked really, really cool, but rather than even looking like Callie or Mari, or looking like Marina, she's like short, kind of sinister looking. I maybe she's there to contrast with Marina. I just don't get it. Why would you make one more attractive and the other one look like she's going to attack you? I don't know.
She looks like a ghoul. They're definitely no Callie or Mari or Marie. I don't know. Do you say Mar? It's spelled Marie. It's spelled Marie.
It's Mari.
Okay, whatever.
Callie and Mari.
Another thing I like to eat, by the way. You're just making me hungry with all this fish talk.
Yeah, I love fish. calamari especially. Don't get me started. I'm not saying I'm against eating fish. You guys want to go hunt some Zora after this.
Wait, are we sure this wasn't like the tastiest Nintendo characters list?
You know what goes really well with dinner, though, is a little bit of music. Next character is Cass, also the next meal.
Who, by the way, is my favorite character in Breath of the Wild. Like, he is by far my favorite character. And actually, you know what? I think we talked about this on the last podcast when we were deciding what our, like, best game is, best soundtrack, etc., etc. I actually think the soundtrack for Breath of the Wild is the best soundtrack of the year. Like, going back and listening to it, and like when I made my mixtape, I had to play the song The Champion's Ballad because I think that song is beautiful. He's my favorite character in the game. Everything about him I love the fact that, you know, out of all the instruments that he could play, he could be playing a guitar or a drum or a flute. No, he's playing the accordion. It's amazing. Like, I love the way he looks. I love his colors. I love the way he talks. Like, he's just, like, everything about this guy is awesome. Cool dude.
Yeah,
I got an argument there. It was always fun finding him, hearing his little song off in the distance and knowing you were getting close to him. That was always kind of fun.
We all can hear that song right now, too. Yeah, I really like this character. I like that he always talks about his teacher, and that's about the depth that we get there, but it's cool that he's always thoughtfully remembering, and he fits really well with the theme of the game, which is kind of like reminiscent of the past but looking forward to the future and hoping in a hopeless time that Link can get through this. So I thought they did a really good job bringing him back, making him relevant again for the Champion's Ballad. And Ricky, you're right, that song is amazing. I love it. Why is this soundtrack not anywhere?
It's my favorite song of any video game of last year. Not just the soundtrack, but that specific song. And like, what I like about him is he's a storyteller. And I think James wrote, yeah, he did. He wrote this in his article. He said, like, he's a poet at the same time. He's a songwriter. He's a musician. He's an artist. He's a poet. He's a storyteller. He's Bob Dylan, but a bird.
Bob Dylan. Bird Dylan. All right.
That's what we're calling him from this point forward. Anyway, the next guardian on our list, or excuse me, the next champion on our list is Urbosa.
Oh, can't eat Urbosa. That would actually be cannibalism.
Okay. So here's something really interesting about Zelda, right?
Zelda or her?
Zelda. Not the character, the series. You go throughout this like cool exotic land, and you come across bird people, fish people,
RuPaul,
and giant fierce women.
RuPaul. Oh my god, I never saw that until just now when you said it. Oh, that's great. All right, we're kind of destroying the list here, which is great. Okay.
How many people are mad at us right now?
Look, Urbosa's another character that's just simply, to me, was fine. I was never latched onto her as a character. I did love the town, though, that she's from, whatever that town is called. I can't remember anymore, even though I put 200 hours into that game.
The Gerudo Town.
The Gerudo Town, yes. Yeah. It wasn't just called Gerudo Town, though, or was it?
Yeah, it's the same as Ocarina of Time. No, okay. I actually love RuPaul. I think RuPaul's, like, really talented. But, like, the thing about Urbosa is that...
Oh, I thought you were talking about Urbosa as RuPaul. No. Urbosa's talented?
RuPaul in general. But the thing about her character is, like, man, like, she like you ever see, I don't know if you guys watch wrestling, but China, the wrestler, like how big she was, like she would like stand next to Triple H and she would like be taller and more muscular than him. Like she's the kind of like lady that I would just be afraid to talk to because I would think that she would just destroy me, like, which is a good thing. But like I said, my pick is Revali. He's my favorite. And Prince Sidon would be in second place.
Interestingly enough, we don't actually have Daruk on this list.
Nope.
It says Goran, which is annoying.
Which is why Patrick needs to write up the second part of this list.
All right, I'm going to go with... I'm going to phrase this: appetizers, main course, and dessert. The best Nintendo characters of...
rock people. Rock candy? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. He's like what a bird needs, you know, millet or whatever to digest food. Yeah, Daruk, I don't know. I've never been a fan of Gorons either. You know, it's weird because I keep saying I'm not a fan of most of these characters, and it's true. Like, the side characters in Zelda that I really like are generally the humans because they're the quirkiest and the weirdest. Like the mailman or Tingle. Well, Tingle, I don't even know if he's human, but he's something. the Wind Waker people, all the goofy characters tend to be humans. So those are the ones I really... you know, I'm drawn towards more so than the bird people, the Ritos, or the, you know, other Koroks. I did like, you know, Makar, but...
Well, they're not human. They're Hylian.
Yeah, Hylian.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
But yeah, they're the humanoid ones, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing, like, when it comes to these characters. But this time, I don't know, I didn't really think Urbosa was anything. Her dialogue didn't really draw me in. She's so serious.
She's like a strong, powerful woman, which is cool. But it's not like too over the top, and yet at the same time she's very matronly, like both to her people and to Zelda in particular. She is like a surrogate mother.
Yeah,
and I think that's a really, really cool. I wish they would have explored that more, because we've never seen the Queen of Hyrule. She, as far as I know, has never existed. Zelda was birthed by a boat, the King of Hyrule.
Yes.
And
of Red Lion.
Yeah. And that's where she came from, I guess. But I really like this character. I thought she was really, really cool. She's like a little bit knowing, which is fun. She teases just about everyone in this game. And yeah, I like the character a lot. I don't know if I have a favorite champion, but she's up there. She could be my favorite. She's cool. The next character on our list, though... I'm just gonna throw it out there. I think it's maybe wrong, but that's fine. It's Sharina from Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah, Sharina. I don't know how it's pronounced either, because nobody ever says it. The game doesn't. I mean, the game has dialogue, but it has text dialogue. Other than that, it just says Fire Emblem Heroes when you start it up. Sorry, I just love doing that.
I think we all did that with a different game.
Yeah, the best, right. You gotta...
The best was back on like the Wii when you loaded up Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi Budokai 3.
That's a great one. Obviously,
it would say it every single time you loaded it up.
Resident Evil is, of course, the most famous example of that. You know, everybody knows Resident Evil.
Or
it would always pause before the number, right?
Yeah. Or the lady that always says the devil may cry. Like, the devil may cry.
That's a great one, too. Sharina's a cool character. The Fire Emblem Heroes characters are not super memorable. They're really cheesy. And look, if you think that the dialogue in Fire Emblem Warriors is corny, just play some of the hero stuff, because some of the situations they put them in, like there was one great paralogue, I believe, that involved you basically going around to different beaches and photographing all the characters in their bathing suits. Because I don't remember if it was Sharina that actually wanted to do this, but I think it was. And she wanted to, like, sell the photographs to make money. So she was basically behaving like a paparazzi and trying to catch everybody, like, get some skin on everybody. It was guys and girls. Everybody was in their bathing suit. And, yeah, there was a little, like, there were hints at romance. All over the place. It was a very suggestive paralogue, and it was super corny. So it's hard for me to say like she's a great character, but whatever. They're all kind of like super dopey characters. I like the Fire Emblem Warriors ones better, but Fire Emblem Heroes, sure. Sharina is, I guess, the best out of them. The guy is pretty, pretty flat, pretty boring. So
Alphonse or whatever.
Yeah, Alphonse. That's the one. Yeah. See, you know the name, and I don't. I don't really play him anymore. But yeah, she's the best of the two girls.
They are all just like merp shut up characters to me, where I'm just like, go away. Let me play now.
Yeah, it's the personalities of the other ones that really make Fire Emblem Heroes kind of more fun. All the other heroes from all the games, all the 3DS and DS games, like, and Game Boy Advance games, those are the ones that make it a lot more entertaining. It's not really the three originals. They're not as good as Ronan and Liana. They're both much better characters.
So we've still got two more. Let's go through this quickly. We've got Monk Maz Koshia, who is the final boss of the DLC, which he is on this list because it's the best boss fight in Zelda in a long time.
Right, and we shouldn't really talk too much about him because...
I'm not going to say anything about him.
Some people might get upset if they haven't finished the game. But yeah, that's his name. He's the final boss of Zelda Breath of the Wild, the final boss, at least in Champions Ballad, which is technically the final boss because after you beat him, there's sort of like a cutscene which wraps up the whole entire game. Yeah. So he's just... He's cool. He looks cool. Love his moveset. He's really hard to beat at first. And let's just say that he has just about every single skill and weapon has the four, if not five, previous bosses in the game, including Ganon.
So, finally, character we can talk a little bit more about. Cappy is the final character on the list, which I think is a great conclusion. A really, really solid character. And we actually have someone from a Mario game. What do you know?
Yeah, Cappy's good. He's fun. I mean, I don't know. I think that the FBI agents that are populating New Donk City have a little more personality, but none of them are individual because, of course, they're part of Big Brother. And Cappy's definitely better. Like, if you have to pick somebody from Mario Odyssey, you're not going to pick the Brutals because they're kind of lame. And Cappy's, he's upbeat. He's got some things to say to Mario sometimes that are funny. I think, he's certainly a useful character. He's one of the best, skills that Mario's had in a while. I think that was a very cool power-up. I think Possessions, it was a really, really cool idea, and it turned out really well. I like Cappy.
Yeah, I thought he was really cool. I feel like by the end of the game, slight spoilers, when he's kind of like reminiscing about the adventure that you've been on together on the very last level, I felt like that was actually earned, and I kind of felt friendly, feeling towards Cappy. I felt like Cappy and I had kind of been on this adventure together, and so that felt real. That felt kind of like there are too many games where they force that in, and I'm just like, no, I don't care about you. Nice try, but in this case, I was like, yeah, I liked Cappy. I liked this adventure this big odyssey we just went on. So.
Yeah, but let's not forget that Cappy sort of changes the whole entire game mechanic for a Super Mario game, right? It's not just about his character's personality, the look, the design. It's the fact that with Cappy, you're able to possess all of these characters in the game. So technically, because of Cappy, you can include just about every character in the game that Mario can possess. So that's why he's like, I guess, I don't know if this list is actually ordered, to be honest, because there's no numbers, but... He's at the bottom of the list, which I assume means like he's, in our opinion, like the best new character in any Nintendo game because he's a game changer in a sense.
I kind of agree. That's true. I mean, based on the list, he is the best one there, and he's what allows you to see every single Nintendo like enemy and stuff with a mustache. Without that cap, that would not have been possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, the whole Odyssey thing, it just dawned on me. I was thinking about Odyssey today and about the name Odyssey because I saw some people complaining about it. You always get those people saying, like, why wasn't it called Super Mario Hat Adventure or something like that? And I was thinking about the wedding.
Really?
Did you guys pick up on the wedding part of this?
No. Yeah, or the ship. Or...
Yeah, well, the ship, of course, and of course, like traveling. But I didn't even relate Odysseus trying to get back.
Are you being real right now? Wedding.
Yeah, I didn't even put two and two together.
You should explain this for any young people listening to the podcast.
Okay, there is this 2000. There's a 2000 year old text called the Odyssey, written by a poet named Homer. We don't know if he was real or not, but it doesn't really matter.
I'm assuming they still read that in school. Like, I was one of the first books I read when I got to high school.
I don't know if they do or not. I mean, the language is so outdated. It's very
difficult. They might read the Iliad instead also.
It's possible. Although, Tim, they generally don't read the Iliad anymore. People generally go for the Odyssey because it's easier. The Iliad is just too obtuse for some people. Or not obtuse,
I personally like the Odyssey better.
I like the Iliad better, but the Odyssey, for anybody who doesn't know, it's about a guy who's trying to go back from the Trojan War named Odysseus, and that's why it's called the Odyssey. And he's trying to get back home. He's been away for 10 years, and it takes him 10 more years to get back home. But in the meantime, he's trying to race back there because his wife's about to marry. She's being wooed by all the local princes because she's the queen of the land, and they want to take the land and her money, and they want all the power. And Odysseus is racing back there to stop the wedding. So.
Okay, you know what? So the thing is, like, Patrick, you're way smarter than I, and you just realized this, right? And I'm thinking, like, this could be an article, because sometimes I think of these, like, ideas, and I'm like, yeah, but if I write this, it's going to seem so obvious. But clearly not everyone picks up on everything right away, even if it is obvious, right?
I didn't get it. Till today. Like,
you now have two articles. It's the roots. We should do a podcast every day because we've just assigned Patrick with two articles to write.
You can't dissociate the root of a word from its original source.
The point I was trying to make is they call the ship Odyssey. And so I thought that they were calling the ship Odyssey I thought it was just so obvious that they were just calling the ship Odyssey so people would just focus on the ship. You know what I mean? So therefore, it's not as obvious, which I think we've just been proven it's not.
And all I was thinking was, okay, I know what an odyssey is. An odyssey is an adventure where you're going from place to place to place. So the name made sense anyway. It'd be like calling it Super Mario Adventure, right? So Super Mario Odyssey. Like, okay, it makes sense. You're traveling. And I know I know it relates to the book, The Odyssey, because I'm a big fan of Homer. I mean, I've read the Iliad probably 5 times and the Odyssey a couple at least. I just never thought about the wedding aspect. It was that one story aspect that I never thought about how that might relate to an ancient script, and that's brilliant on Nintendo's part to have something like that in there.
Mario responds much the same way when he gets home.
Yeah, he murders a lot of people.
Yeah, stomps on a bunch of people.
Just like Odysseus did. I think he threw a spear through like 15 people. Yeah, it was great.
It's awesome.
By the way, anybody who loves violence and bloodshed, read the Odyssey and the Iliad.
See, if you listen to this podcast, what you should be doing is you should be tweeting about the podcast on Twitter and telling the world why they should listen to our Nintendo podcast, because we do things differently here. How many Nintendo podcasts talk about stuff like this?
Or could.
Okay. How many podcasts are just full of legitimate film and literature critics, though, which I feel like is more what we are and where we're coming from. Well, that does it for our episode. I hope you guys enjoyed, as we completely derailed all conversation and enthusiasm about these characters. I feel like we did a good job burning that down, but you should go to the website right now, goombastomp.com, and read the nice snippets that people wrote about our dinner. Patrick, where can we find you online?
You can find me at Sordid Cinema, of course, which is the Twitter handle for our Sordid Cinema section, the movie section of GoombaStomp.com. And, of course, you can always find my articles on GoombaStomp.com. And then you can also find me at my local seafood restaurant tonight.
Dude, sushi is, like, my favorite thing. Ricky, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter. My handle is GoombaStompMag. Just look for me, Ricky. And you can like us on Facebook, Tumblr, Pinterest.
I am Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, MAISON, or NExpress Nintendo on Twitter, which is where I chat about video games. You can also listen to my other show, Game Boys, which has kind of been in an awkward spot where I had to re-download every single episode, and I'm still doing that. But you can now listen to some of those episodes on our website and on iTunes again. They're back up, at least like the first or the latest 20 of them are. More to come. But besides that, you can always keep it tuned to GoombaStomp.com for all Nintendo news, including a direct that might be coming sooner or later. There's lots of whispers in the community waiting for more. And of course, tune in next week as we make some of our predictions for 2018 and share some of our personal Nintendo resolutions. So tune in then. Of course, go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Drop us a review and a rating. It goes such a long way to making a podcast more visible, which of course allows us more opportunities, more codes for games, and lets us know that you like us, which is nice to know. So we hope you guys had a great New Year's break. We are back. 2018 is here, and hopefully it is another great year for Nintendo. Talk to you more next week.